That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. We've got an interesting conversation with you this afternoon. We have Michael Gaskin. He is running for House District 13. I do need to tell you, in all fairness, that I did ask his opponent to come on, and as of this moment, his opponent is not coming on. So this will be your opportunity to hear Michael Gaskin right here on WCRS this afternoon. You also will be able to hear and see Michael this evening at the Landry University Abney Cultural Center. They are having a candidate forum at 5:30 to 7, so make sure you go out. If you haven't made up your mind or if you've got any questions, it's a great time. And even though you won't actually be able to ask the questions at the forum, I'm sure you guys are going to be available to talk to before and after.
That's correct.
That's right. So how are you doing today, Michael?
Doing great, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is this the first time you've run for office?
No, we were here a couple, I think it was 2010, right, yep, in this room.
Right.
You interviewed me.
Yep, and what were you running for then?
State representative.
State representative. So, well, how are you doing this time compared to the last time? What do you think?
I think I'm more experienced. Mm-hmm. Also, obviously more aware, and I feel very, very confident. I really do. And I worked even harder because I knew the groundwork. Mm-hmm. I knew what I had to do. So I can't wait till next week this time.
I'll bet. Yeah. Next week on Tuesday, the election will be going on.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. And it's so important for people to vote, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know, it kind of baffles me quite a bit because I know there's a lot of folk out there saying, why vote? I'm not going to vote. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. You know, everybody talk about equality in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most equal thing that all of us have. One vote. And if we use that vote, no matter how we use it, whether we vote left, right, up, down,
mm-hmm,
everyone has that one vote and have an opportunity to be equal. The most equal opportunity that we have.
Well, remember when, what was it, when Afghanistan voted for the first time, and they all walked around with their purple fingers, and they were so proud,
yes,
to show that they had voted, and they didn't think that the people would turn out to vote for that, but some people walked from one out in the boonies into a village to be able to vote.
Right.
And yet, it is something that we take totally for granted, and yet we don't exercise it.
Yes, and I'll be honest with you, I think what happened is that we didn't pass the torch. I know with my ancestors, having the opportunity to vote was critical, was meaningful, was life-changing, and actually caused some people their lives. But we didn't pass that torch, the importance of voting.
And I think, you know what, I think that comes from, Michael, I think part of it is the lack of civics in school.
Okay.
I mean, you're on the school board, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. And the lack of people, of kids, understanding what the political process is and how it all works, they have just, I think, in the last year, maybe the last 2 years, passed a thing where you have to have so much state history and also civics and whatnot. But still, we have let a whole generation grow up without understanding the process.
And I agree with you. That is some of the responsibility fall on our education system, but the primary responsibility fall on the parents. You know, we often target the education system, you mm-hmm. know, of getting, you know, but if our children don't come to school ready to learn, if our school children do not come to school disciplined, then it is a very difficult job for our teachers to be ready to educate them.
Sounds like you're coming at it from a certain direction here. Would that be first steps?
Well, first steps in social change.
Yeah. It's important.
Yes, it is.
And at some point, we decided the schools could do it all.
That's right. And that's when, see, one of the problems we have is that when we look at our education system, there are some penalties. Teachers get penalized when they do not educate our children. Our children get penalized when they do not receive the instruction. But guess who's missing in this equation? The parents never get penalized.
That's true.
And that is our problem, in my humble opinion, is that we have to find a way to bring all of those folks together and educate our children. Because when we don't educate our children, we don't have a sustainable workforce, a ready-to-work workforce. We can't get industries in here. We have no future. So, I mean, it's so...
And we don't have any values.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, I think values, having a work ethic, having respect for other people, you know, being able to listen to somebody else and be courteous.
Right.
Those are some of the things we're missing in today's world.
And another thing, I think, is communication. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of talkers. We don't have communicators.
And well, a lot of talkers and not a lot of listeners, right, I always like to say, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that happens at home. We rely on our games, we rely on the television, and we rely on everybody else except for the parents to get children ready for school. Now, we'll say now, there are some teachers that probably need to be brushed up on, but primarily the responsibility lands with the parents.
Sure. And so many of them, though, are working so hard just to try to keep food on the table.
And that's where the poverty come in.
Mm-hmm.
I think every child, you know, I always say this, that children are born, and it's just like a blank CD.
Yep.
Nothing is on it. Everything that happens to that child is a learning process. Everything that child does is learning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a child at the mall, they're acting up or saying bad words, follow them home.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is teaching them that. If you see a child is not ready to learn, follow them home. Somebody then prepare them. So, I mean, and then when we get to the schools, one child can keep 20 from learning.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
That is true.
And it happens.
It does.
And we have teachers. I think the vast majority of our teachers are great. But I don't think the schools, their education prepare them for the discipline of the children that come forth.
That's true. So you are running for District 13. Now, what area does District 13 cover?
I wish I could simply explain this.
Okay.
But it starts northern Greenwood,
mm-hmm.
on the Wareshow side, if you're going down 25, all the way down to southern Greenwood. It goes or loops around the city of Greenwood and kind of just spread eagle out in southern Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best I can tell you. But it doesn't cover all of the east end of Greenwood County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some parts of that that comes out of District, I want to say it's 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a
good-sized district.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. It is.
And as you are moving forward through this process, you know, should you be elected, what type of committees would you like to be on? What are you passionate about? Education? No.
Education, yeah. But I'm very passionate about finance and ethics. I would love to be on those three committees if I could, or mm-hmm. whatever combination of those.
Okay.
I think our ethics reform is critical. We need people with integrity in office. We need people that is going to do what they're supposed to do what they was elected to do, and ease the mind of the voting people.
I think it's a very hard time to be in politics right now. I think from the standpoint of the trust issue, whether you are new getting into politics or whether you've been around politics, I think it's a very tough time because I think basically the people don't trust government. And you take that as the first premise, it's hard to find, it's hard to fight that. I'm sure you've seen that over the last few months.
Yes, ma'am. And I'll tell you this, government is a system. And yes, it's very hard for people to trust a system. But the problem is the people who are maneuvering the system.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is. And we need to make sure that people are elected and not reelected when they do something wrong. I don't care who it is. We should not get, you know, whether it's no matter who it is, we should not get upset when we have to say, no, we're not going to vote for them anymore. We just not should accept any stories that people tell us, and because they're popular or because their father will go to our church or whatever. No, we should not vote for them. That's the power that we have with that one vote.
Mm-hmm.
We have to vote to make change.
Vote to make change. Well, you know, we've got that all the way from our federal presidential election down to local level on city council, county council, all up and down the system. Now, you are a Democrat.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a Democrat.
And are you supporting Hillary?
I am. Okay. I am. And I'm going to tell you this. I look at Hillary and I look at Donald, and I say, if I was a Republican and Hillary was a Republican, would I ever vote for Hillary? If Donald was a Democrat, would I vote for Donald? My answer to that is that for what I understand on both of them, there's a lot of fabrications. There's a lot of stories. We as American people do not have a lot of trust for either one of them. But let's look at America. America is about the people. It's about our democracy. Who would be the best candidate to move us forward? I'm not saying who the best storyteller or the best fabricator, but how can we move on to the next 4 years that we can provide another candidate to...
So in other words, you're just saying we need to get through these 4 years. We shouldn't count on them to do anything. We should count on them to get through the next 4 years.
Well, we should count on them to do something, because if you elected, you should do your duty. And I was saying earlier that if one of candidates do not do what they were sworn to do, to me, that's treason. That is treason. I don't care if you don't like with this policy or whatever. That's what politics is about, is negotiation. Politics is about giving and taking. Politics is about, first and foremost, it's about ensuring that we take care of our country and the people in this country. Mm-hmm. And if we're not going to do that, then we need to go take a back seat.
So you are supporting Hillary. You believe that, as the situation is right now, you believe she is the best person for the job.
Yes.
Yes. But you're not exactly enthralled.
No.
No. Okay. All right. I'm just clarifying. For those that are on the fence out there and trying to make up their own minds. So, one of the other issues that is out there that actually was written up in the Index Journal was your getting some funds from Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
You want to explain that?
Yes. Planned Parenthood, on my research, Planned Parenthood is not just about abortion. What it does is provide care for the unprivileged. Mm-hmm. My thing of it is, and always have been, is that abortion is a choice. And I do not believe that it is a legislator, a congressman, a senator, or whoever positioned to determine what choice a person should make. That choice is between that individual and God. But I do understand life is a life. But that is not my position to sit up and say, you are wrong. Despite whether someone is for abortion or against abortion, I'm going to represent them. But what I'm going to do is I understand that I have to one day make a decision about if it did come to, is abortion legal or illegal? I still leave it up to that individual choice. So that's just the way I see it. I'm not God. I mean, I am a human being that just want to represent the people, and we can't sit here and say what rights a person could not have. What bothers me a lot is most of the time we hear people talking about abortion, they're usually men.
Men. Okay.
And and I'll be honest, which is a woman's choice.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if women never had the right to vote? How would we be looking at that issue? Would it be the same way?
Mm-hmm.
But it's an individual's choice, and I think that would be between that individual and their supreme being.
What do you feel about late-term abortion, though?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have to go with what the governor said about the 20 weeks.
And what exactly did she say for our listeners so they know?
Well, she made a determination that after 20 weeks that you cannot have abortion.
Okay.
So my thing of it is, I understand it, but there is something that goes with that. What about after 20 weeks is the mother, which she also says in that if the mother, it came down between the mother and the child's life, then, you know, you have to look at the... I think the laws that we have, they are not bad.
Okay.
But the thing of it is, it's just that the people who want to find something to be divisive about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to remember, it's a choice.
Right.
The individual has a choice. It's not illegal to have abortion.
Right.
But that's between that person and God, and I don't want to play God.
Okay, I understand. Now, talking about some of the issues that are out there, another one, here's another one, Second Amendment. Okay, right to bear arms. What do you say about that, Michael?
Well, there's two things I know for sure. Number one, on November 8th, I'm going to vote for me. Number two, the Second Amendment right is not going anywhere. It's going to always be there. You're going to have the right to bear arms. But I do believe in gun control restrictions. I do think that...
Gun control? You believe in gun control? What did you say?
Gun restriction. I'm sorry.
Restrictions.
I said gun control, yeah.
Okay.
I do not think that a policeman or a sheriff or a military person should have to worry about, when they're doing their duty, someone having an arsenal close to being equivalent to the arsenal which they have. I know that everyone has the right to protect their home. And I think you have a right to choose a firearm to protect your arm. But I just don't think it has to be an AK-47, an assault rifle. I do not think it has to have a magazine of a large account magazine. You know, I don't want to say the wrong terminology for the gun lovers out there. But I do think, and I know, that the Second Amendment right is never going to be in question. I think what's happening here is folk want to have whatever type gun they want to have and as many they want to have. And I just think that is wrong when it comes to looking at the people who we pay to protect and serve, because they want to go home too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we should not even come close to putting our people that we are paying to protect to serve us in jail.
Now, what about people that have mental issues owning guns?
I don't think they should be able to. If they can prove, to go through all the tests and prove that they are mentally incapable, mm-hmm. they should not have a gun. I do not think people who are
predators. What type of restriction should we have between, you know, right now, what is it, 2-day, 3-day waiting period, or when you go to buy a gun? What type of should there be more time in this?
Well, I have to say, we need to take as much time we need to take to make sure we get it right. If something in question, we should not be held responsible to those 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes a week, it takes a week. I do not think that, you know, when a predator, someone who, domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
That's a choice too. You have a choice to conduct yourself in domestic violence, to harm a lady, to harm children, or harm a man.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need a gun to do that. And what I'm saying by that is we should not provide them guns because they already proven what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that if someone has a gun and they want to sell it to a family member, should that be done? Yes, they can sell it, but I think it need to be registered. I think it should not be passed over to Ann, because Ann like my gun.
Right.
Ann, you've been great to me. You can have this gun, but I think it need to be registered. So
do you think all guns need to be registered?
Well, I know it's impossible.
Okay. All right.
It's absolutely impossible.
That's right, it is.
But I think there's a point and a period that we can start doing it,
mm-hmm.
and go from there. I see some things that we fuss and fight about, they're just totally impossible. Changing the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
impossible. Beyond it, changing abortion,
right.
impossible. And registering all guns, that's impossible. So let's just go
ahead. Kind of like immigration, huh?
Huh?
Kind of like immigration.
Well, probably. Because I know that people is going to come into this country with us or without. You know, and I don't want to act like I'm throwing darts, because I'm not, but I always laugh at Donald Trump when he's talking about building that wall. I said, God, when he's done any research and found out that most of the people are coming in underground.
Yeah.
That's how they're coming in.
Well, they're coming in from all different ways,
yes,
that is
are,
for
but...
sure. So, now, I don't know if this is actually one of your issues, but one of the ones that really concerns me, because I see people out on the street, we have a huge mental health issue,
mm-hmm.
actually across our country and here in South Carolina. It doesn't seem to me that our legislators put a lot of time towards that issue. I would like to really see mental health reform. We have people, you know, back in the day, we used to have places where they went and
mm-hmm.
they got their medication and they were taken care of. In today's world, we turned them out. They've had no place, and I think not all, but a lot of our homelessness and people that refuse to get themselves help, they'd rather live on the streets. then get the help that they need. What do you think as far as the cause of mental health here in our state, if you should be elected?
Well, the state of mental health in South Carolina is sad.
It is.
It is really sad, because when we start looking at what is classified as mental health, we're talking about people who are depressed. So many people are depressed. Mm-hmm. And when we start looking around in Greenwood and seeing people that they don't need a flag or anything to say something is wrong with that individual. Also,
there's no way for them to get help.
No, because there's no help available because the funds was cut some years ago. So we need to fix that. We need to provide the funds to assist them, because once again, it's only going to end up being a cost for us, mm-hmm. for our state.
Right.
Because when they get sick, we have to pay for them. And we have to incarcerate them. We have to pay for them.
Well, many of them don't need to be incarcerated. They need help, but that's how they end up. We've got veterans who have mental health issues, and there's just not a lot of choices. I seriously see that as an issue that should be addressed, but doesn't get any high priority.
But, Ann, once someone is mentally ill and walking the streets, they're going to get hungry. They don't have no food. They're going to steal.
Right.
So then they become incarcerated.
Right.
So that's what I was saying about that. They end up being incarcerated, you're going to have to pay for it. So why don't we just fix the problem? And the problem is large.
Yes, it is.
So, and once again, the question going to be, how do we pay for it? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, we need to pay for it the best way we can, no matter by all means necessary. We need to invest, we need to invest the funds necessary for the people who we say we're going to serve. Mental illness, I mean, you stop and think about it, and I have to do this in my job a lot. We have a parent who is mentally ill, mm-hmm. another parent is mentally ill, and they have a child. Who is your best teacher? Your parents. So this child may have some miscues. It may not be nothing wrong with them, other than they are learning from their parents the mental ill. They're learning from mental ill parents.
Right.
And that's devastating. But they end up being in school. They end up being on medication when they shouldn't have been. Like you said, our veterans. Now, that is an easy fix. They sworn to serve our country. Mm-hmm. Our country need to take care of them.
Well, that's, I guess, doesn't fall under what would be your parlance, but that falls into the federal level, and that is a mess there. I will say that I do think that South Carolina does a good job, maybe not a great job, but they certainly have, through the National Guard, have worked hard to help with mental health issues, jobs, all this type of stuff. I got to give them credit. I've known about how they have tried to work this, and they're making strides, maybe not the best, but they are making strides.
And I think when we had a problem with VA, still ongoing to a degree, you're seeing some improvements. But the thing of it is, it should have never been that way.
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't never. You know, and I think that's the thing that we need to look at. Once a veteran, I was active duty Air Force. Once I got out of the military, I had to find where I'm going to find home. Mm-hmm. And even if I, of course, I came back to South Carolina, obviously, but the military still have an obligation. That's what they told me when I signed up.
Right.
That if I do my job, mm-hmm. that they would do their job. And we should not forget our veterans. You know?
I think that's one of the things that South Carolina has been pretty proactive. They want veterans to come back. They want veterans to make South Carolina their home. They have done some things, tax incentives and this type of thing, for veterans to be coming back home. So I think that's a good thing. We probably should take a 2-minute break here, Andy. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, the roads and who knows what else we'll get into. I am here with Michael Gaskin. He is running for House District 13. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. Hey, I do want to tell you something. I hope you're going to make it out there. We were out there this morning for the B-17 out there at the airport. It is the most awesome thing ever. We did a live Facebook from right out there. We got to talk to the pilots, walked all the way around the plane, showed you all about it. They are out there. You can go out there. They say till 5, but they also say if they have a crowd out there, they'll stay a little longer. And we're actually going to stop about 10 minutes till. I hope you don't mind, Michael, because we're going to take Jeff out there and let him see this, because it is just so awesome to see what our guys flew in with no real insulation. World War II, they had no heat in the thing, no air. Guys could die. They hear it. Yeah, the whole nine yards. And so I hope you made it out there. If you don't get a chance to make it out there, do go and watch our video on WCRS.AM radio. It's got a lot of response, a lot of shares today. And you may have seen it in the skies around town. It was flying this afternoon. So pretty awesome. But anyways, we are here with Michael Gaskin. We are talking about his run for House District 13 for the House of Representatives down there in Columbia. You know, another big issue that plagues us, and we still haven't resolved it, even though it's an issue that's out in front, is the roads, the infrastructure, the bridges, the dams. Of course, we had a lot of problem with the waters from last year. And at this point, we still don't have an answer. And what do you see as a way to raise money to pay for the roads?
Well, one of the ways I think is critical is to look at the 32 taxes that we have and make sure they're working the best for us.
32 taxes such as?
Such as the excess tax, such as the sales tax. When I go and buy a vehicle, if you buy a vehicle for $10,000 and I buy a vehicle for $70,000, we both pay $300.
It's maxed out at $300.
Maxed out $300. Mm-hmm. And then with a boat, it's the same thing, unless, of course, if you buy a boat and you buy the engine separate from a place, then it's a little more, you know, if you don't buy them from the same place. But my point is this. Let's do it the right way. Let's look at it. Come up with a scale and do it the right way and use that money to work towards that $42 billion
deficit
that
yeah.
we need. Mm-hmm. $42 billion, that's a lot of money. But then let's look at the big scale of everything. Those roads is one of the ways at which our industries get their products out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Our roads are one of the ways that people travel through South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Our roads is how our children get to school, how our families get to work. So we have to fix that problem. It's not a Democratic problem. It's not a Republican problem. It is a South Carolina problem. We need to work together to fix South Carolina problem, even if it comes to doing some other things, such as increasing the sales tax by a penny.
The governor says she's not doing that.
Well, I understand that. That's what she say.
Right.
But the people of South Carolina, this government belongs to the people. And it's by the people. Mm-hmm. And that's where the people need to come together and say, Governor Haley, let's do what's best for South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Because who's going to come to South Carolina and the roads are not great? I mean, I wouldn't want to bring my industry here, if I had one. I wouldn't want to bring my industry here and say, hey, you know, this is a great place. It may be everything, but my products can't get out of here. And it also causes lives. I read somewhere, and that is, I think it's $1,452 per year that we pay in addition to our cars going through these bad roads repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another dollars that are taken away from for the South Carolina people, mm-hmm. because we won't do what's right, and what's right is fix the roads.
Well, I think the infrastructure mm-hmm. is not good. Now, so you're thinking an increase in a gas tax.
Increase in gas, right.
Yeah, okay. I fail to see what is the problem. I mean, would I want to pay additional gas tax? No. But We have one of the lowest prices of gas around the country. And when you travel, when one travels and you drive, you see how much it costs in other places. Wow. Now, it's great that it is less here, but even a 10 cent increase would not make it that much higher.
Right. 10 cents would make it 26 cents mm-hmm. on gasoline, on gas, and then 26 cents on diesel.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we're not saying robbing the people. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is it's making everybody, the state of South Carolina, better. You know,
well, I think, you know, it's a use tax, right? If you're using the product.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that they do say is that as cars have become more efficient, they're using less gas. So, therefore, but the roads still need to be usable
right.
for all people.
And you're using less gas means, to me, means you travel more. But, you know.
Right. Whatever. But that's, I think that's a big issue. So, if you are elected to this office, you would be working how for infrastructure?
I would be fighting to look at every aspect to fund the roads, even if it comes to having to have to increase the taxes. Our taxes are not bad. We prove that right now with our capital tax here in Greenwood. Our taxes are not bad, but some way that the roads have to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the money don't grow on trees, as we've been hearing since we were little tots. So what we have to do is use the avenues in which we have to have the funds to fix our infrastructure.
So you would be for going through and saying all these 32 taxes that you're talking about that have to do with vehicles and roads and everything, we should look at them and see how money could be increased.
Right. Even the fees, because that's another thing
fees.
That's always
yep.
hidden. You know, we don't talk about them much, but the fees are actually a tax.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to look at it, at how we can make this work. And then, if you don't mind, another thing we need to look at is how are we going to take care of retired state workers?
I will say this. Curtis Loftus, when he first got elected, said that this was a big hole and this was a big problem, and there were too many. I remember having many discussions with Curtis about the fees that they were paying for the money for the return that they were getting on their investment. So I agree. That is another problem. And how is that going to be dealt with?
Well, we can't take folk and have them to work and spend their lives serving our state and then turn around and tell them at the end, oh, by the way, we made a mistake. So we need to fix
that. That's kind of like Social Security,
exactly.
Isn't it, Michael?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
Social Security was designed for, let's say, it was 7 or 8 people to be working for one person to be getting Social Security. Now, I don't know how far we're down, 2 or 3 people working to support that one person, and it's going to be a problem.
Yes, but the thing of it is that when we take a look at all of this, we need to also look at the taxes again and make sure we're not looking at a 1967 rate. Trying to make it work in 2016.
That sounds like it. Tax increase.
Well, not really. The thing of it is that there are other ways in which we have some taxes that we may not even need anymore. We probably just have taxes and fees that we charging people, and it just become, just part of life. We may can convert some of that over and make it work to the best of us. But if we just keep doing business as usual and just keep saying no, 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 because I want to get reelected, I'm going to follow the status quo here because I want to stay in politics. Well, I can say this. I'm not one of those. I'm going to do what's
right. Do
you
believe in term limits?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, there you go. Term limits.
I have the greatest answer. Yes. But I heard, I want to say his name is Gambrell.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a speech one day, he said, yes, I believe in term limits. And we already have a system in place called the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If we have a person who is in office, who have been there too long, not doing what they're supposed to do, we have the power to vote them out.
You know, I think that's a good answer. But let me tell you from the other side of it, unfortunately, people get too used to just checking the box. And as, for example, on my perspective, I love having the same legislators because I can pick up that phone and call them and get them on the radio. If I have a relationship, they'll come on anytime. But on the flip side, and people get used to, well, I can always call Michael over here. He'll be right there if I have a problem. But they may not be doing the job, but there's not a mechanism that firmly says, your time has come. And don't you really think that there is something to be said for new blood?
I do. I think change is good in a lot of cases. But, Anna, once again, this is not about Ann and Michael. Mm-hmm. This is about what is best for all the people.
Sure, absolutely.
Now, but if we want to just look at what's best for us, oh, yeah, we'll vote the same guy, and as long as he do what we say do, we love him to death. We even give him campaign contributions.
But see, that's what I'm saying, Michael. Okay. By the time that's where people get comfortable.
But look who has the power. That's the people. So.
But how do you motivate the people, Michael? That's a pretty hard thing. I mean, I don't want to waste your time talking a lot about that. But that is a valid issue. I think some type of term limits that give a person to know I got to get in there. You can't do it too short because people need some time to understand the system. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I would not want to see a whole Senate or a whole House turn over in one fell swoop, but I think there should be something because I think it creates that desire of other people to jump in. And one of the problems that we're having, it's hard to get people to jump in to go for office. If you're torn apart the way you're torn apart in today's world, you don't want to get in that fight.
And I agree with you, but I also will say this. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're dead right. There's so many offices right now where we have absolutely no one running against them because we have made running for office expensive. We have made running for office dirty. We have made running for office as a job, mm-hmm. not as a service.
Right.
And so, yes, we will have that. But how do we motivate the people? That's one thing we cannot do. People have to motivate themselves. You know, and it's sad, but when we find people who are not willing to make themselves better, then I guess they're just comfortable with what they have.
Sure.
I mean, that's the way
we're Well, you know, about. I think you could say that somewhat about society.
Yes.
I mean, we have people in this world who just don't want to get out there and try.
Right.
And we have a large part of our society that, due to the inability to find jobs, they're going on disability. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. That is a shame for our society.
And they go on disability because disability has a system that is set up not to evaluate people constructively. And mm-hmm. we need to change that. And that's what I say. And another thing, if you don't mind, like I look at the Department of Social Services. Department of Social Services is a great agency. We can listen to all what we need to hear about the negative, but they're in position to protect children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. But here's a problem I have. They have become an outsourcing agency. They have come up with grants, outsources to nonprofit organizations or whoever, mm-hmm. and tell them that we're going to take some of the responsibility and let you assist us. I don't like the word help because whenever you get hungry and somebody gives you some help, you always run to them. But assist is giving you, empowering you. Now we have these organizations who apply for these grants, and let's just say they're usually going to go to the large nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll give them a grant to serve the entire state. They give them the entire state, and they try to work with, say, folk in Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's minimized in minimum funding. They can't even hire folk and give them a full-time job. They have to contract with them.
Mm-hmm.
So and then when they contract with them, they don't have health care. They have to pay, instead of having some system to assist them to being better, mm-hmm. they can't. And then look who get where all the money going. The money is still going to the large nonprofits to hire people in their county, and it makes smaller counties inefficient. And that is something that it's not acceptable. And, it's sad that so many buddy-buddy systems are in our government right now. It's about who you know and what you can do for me. But I can promise the people of District 13 this promise. Before the second week in January, I will have a town hall meeting so the people can tell me what's on their mind and what they like to see. And then when I come back, I do the same thing. Because how can you serve the people you don't know the people want?
That's true.
I mean, somebody may not show up, But one thing for sure, no one can say, I did not do my duty as a representative. And I think that's what's important. I should go meet the people on their own terms.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we are going to cut this a little short, but I want to give you 2 minutes. And we do also want to say you are going to be over there at the forum at 5:30. So you probably would like the extra few minutes anyways, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I want to give you 2 minutes to be able to tell the people why they should vote for Michael Gaskin for District 13.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would say this, is that if you're looking for a person of integrity, a person who truly believes in service before self, and a person who believes in and have a measuring scale of excellence, then I'm your man. But in addition, I am also a person that believes in transparency. This government is for you, it's by you, and you should know what's going on. This is not a secret society. So when you look at who is the best candidate for House Seat 13, I say what you need to really do is look at what I've done in Greenwood. I provide community-based services for 7 counties in Greenwood and surrounding areas. I've also been executive director for Greenwood County First Steps. I'm on the school board. I also have served 21 years in the military, and I am a hard worker, a dedicated worker, a person who believes that we should have everybody represented and everybody included. So if you're looking for change, I'm the guy. If you're looking for someone who will work hard and you want to have someone you believe in and someone who's not looking for a career but just want to provide service, then I'm your person. So I hope on November the 8th, you'll vote for Michael Gaskin for state representative.
Thank you very much, Michael. Glad you came on here this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And that is going to finish up here. Remember, all the candidates that have competition, I guess we should say, opponents, are going to be over there at the Lander University at the Abney Cultural Center. That'll be going on 5:30 to 7 tonight. So go out there, see what your candidates have to say. You're down to 1 week, folks, to vote. So you better be making up your mind. And Michael, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for us right here on WCRS. Andy plays some commercials, and then we'll go into our regularly scheduled programming. Hey, if you get a chance, get out there to see the B-17. Bye-bye, everybody.